Habakkuk opens his prophecy with these words as a foretaste of the coming of the gospel. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvellously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvellously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Now Habakkuk's lament about the state of the nation and the world around him at the time, of how he cried unto the Lord because of the sin and the wickedness and the violence all around, is a lament that we could cry today. The law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, and the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Oh, how the wicked vaunt themselves. Oh, how their hand is raised up against Almighty God. How few regard God and His ways in our day and generation. How wickedness is seen on every side. And how this vexes the child of God as it vexed Habakkuk. For God seems to be allowing these things to go on. And judgment seems to be held back. And foolish men are led to believe that they can rage against God and do what they like with impunity. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The psalmist says. The people go on in their mockery of God and their mockery of the people of God, and in doing what they like as though there is no God. And God's judgment is held back. But God promises that there is coming a day when he will do a great work that you would not imagine. Behold ye among the heathen. You heathen. You who rage at God. You who mock God. Behold and wonder and regard. And wonder marvellously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe though it be told you. I will bring things to pass which are unbelievable, which are remarkable, which are beyond comprehension, and which the fools of sinners that we are will not and do not believe. We can't believe these things. And yet God promised them, and God brought them to pass. In Acts and chapter 13, the apostles go forth preaching the gospel and declaring to a fallen and a sinful world at that time and in that generation of what God had brought to pass. This which Habakkuk prophesied of had come to pass in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the people in Christ's generation wicked as that former generation, and wicked as today's generation, put Christ to death, and they thought they silenced God. They thought they silenced this message. And yet in reality they had brought God's purposes to pass. Because in destroying this man, in taking this man, Jesus Christ, and nailing him to a tree and crucifying him, in putting him to death, they brought to pass all the promises of God that he determined to bring to fulfillment. They brought them to pass. God would send a Saviour. God would provide a sacrifice, and that man would bear the sins of his people. And in laying down his life, he bore the sins of his people. He suffered under the wrath and condemnation of God. And he set his people free. Those who crucified him, those who called for him to be crucified, those who sought to silence him, thought they had gained a victory, thought they had won, thought they put this man who claimed to be the Son of God to death, thought they'd heard nothing more from him. But in putting him to death, he wrought a victory over sin and the devil and Satan. He delivered his people from their sins. And on the third day he rose again victorious from the grave. He was resurrected. He conquered death. And he sent forth the message of his gospel through the mouths of his apostles to the four corners of the world to make known that of which Habakkuk prophesied. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvellously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And in coming to these people, the apostles preach of Christ and preach of his death and preach of his resurrection and warn those who despise that what they are preaching is a fulfillment of what the prophets declared, is a fulfillment of what Habakkuk declared. They say, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man Jesus is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. From which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets, behold ye despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. They say plainly unto their hearers, if you reject this message, if you shut your ears to it, if you try to silence it, you're doing what Habakkuk said you would do. You're being amongst those who despise this message. And yet, God has brought it to pass. Behold, look. Look, you who despise it. Look, you who reject it. Look, you who bury your head in the sand and hope it will go away. Behold, wonder. Look at this. And if you remain in your hatred of the truth, if you remain in your unbelief, you will perish. Because God works a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. God has done something remarkable. Truly remarkable. He's offered up his son and taken away the sins of his people. He saved them by stretching forth his mighty hand, and his son, though he was crucified and slain by you who despise him, has risen again from the dead. And his message has risen up from the dead. His message has come forth from the grave. You cannot quench it. You try to take him and his message and put it in the ground. And here it is, and it's come forth in power unto you. And you today may take the gospel and shut your ears to it and try to bury it and try to silence it and try to silence those who come and preach it. But it will come forth out of the grave with greater power and with greater force. And if you remain in your unbelief and if you continue to despise, you will perish, because it is you setting yourself against Almighty God. And you cannot win. And you cannot prevail. No matter how many there are of you, no matter how much power you may think you have, no matter how much freedom you may think that you have in this day and age to declare your ideas, you are setting yourself up against Almighty God, and you will perish. What a warning to us in this day. Each and every one of us who shuts our ears to the gospel and who tries to go another way and declare things against the truth of Almighty God. How many there are in this day and age who would go another way, who would say these things are not true, who would preach another message, another ideal, another way of living, another idea of what is right and wrong. I would think that because the sun rose up this morning and I got out of bed and I'm still alive and saying these things, they think that because they can do this, and you think that because you can do this, that you have a freedom and a liberty which will continue. When the reality is that the freedom and the liberty you have is a freedom and a liberty that God has given you to put a noose around your neck. You heap up coals upon your own heads. Behold, ye despisers. Look at the gospel. Behold the truth. Hear the word. For if you despise it, you will perish. For God works a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Though a man declare it unto you. Though we come and preach this message unto you. Though we say unto you plainly that God sent his Son Jesus Christ into this world to save sinners like you and me. To save sinners. To deliver them from their sins. Though we say unto you that eternal life and salvation is to be found in Christ and Christ alone. Ye cannot believe it. I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. No matter how plainly stated it is, no matter how true it is, your natural blindness and sin means you cannot believe it, and you will not believe it. So you despise it, and you seek to silence it, and you seek to silence the messengers of this gospel. And in doing, you set yourself up against Almighty God. Oh, how foolish we are by nature. What a foolish generation we're living in that thinks because Christians and the gospel have been marginalized and set to aside because they're not everywhere, because we can't hear them, because we shut our ears to them, because we listen to other things and other people and other messengers. They're out of the way. They're in the past. What a foolish generation to think that because you try to trample these things underfoot and bury them and ridicule them, that they are not true and that they will not come to pass. These things are true. Habakkuk's prophecy concerning Christ came to pass, and the disciples quote him as a reminder to that generation and to our generation that these things spoken of Christ came about, and they continue to come about. God continues to preach his gospel in the darkness of this world. He continues to send forth the light. And if you continue to despise and reject it, you will perish. Acts chapter 13 starts off with the disciples travelling forth. They were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. They came to Salamis and preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And then when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So they come to this island and they come to the deputy on the island, and the deputy wanted to hear the message they had to preach. He wanted to hear the word of God from them. He had an interest. But here comes this sorcerer, Elymas, who did all he can to turn the deputy away and to silence these preachers of the gospel. He withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now what a thing to come about. Paul speaks directly to this enemy of the truth. He speaks filled with the Holy Ghost, setting his eyes upon him. He speaks directly to him. Here was this man, this sorcerer, who did all he could to prevent others from hearing the truth. And Paul sets his eyes upon him and says, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. How directly he speaks to him. And how directly would we speak unto you? You who follow in his footsteps. You who despise the truth. You who would prevent others from hearing the truth. You who would say, don't listen to them. Don't listen to that message. Go this way instead. You who, like this sorcerer, are full of subtlety, which you gain from your father, the devil. The serpent, the father of lies. That subtle serpent that comes along and casts doubt upon the word of God. Hath God said? Is it true? Full of all subtlety and all mischief. Thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Well, will you not? Whoever you are and wherever you are, listening to me today, are you like the deputy who wanted to hear the word of the Lord? And who, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Are you hungry to hear the word of God? Do you want to hear the gospel? Do you want to hear Jesus Christ? Do you want to know him? Do you want to know salvation? Do you want to know where you're headed when the work, when the years of your life come to a close? Your life is brief. Where are you going? Where will you be in eternity? Do you want to know? Do you care? Does it matter to you? Or are you like this sorcerer? An enemy of all righteousness. A child of the devil. Full of all subtlety and all mischief. Who does all he can to silence the truth. Are you like him? Do you try to close your ears to this message? Do you shut your eyes to this message? Do you block it out? And do you not only try to avoid it yourself, but do you try to prevent it going forth that others might hear it? Do you try to prevent others from hearing this message? Do you speak all sorts of evil against it? Do you call it hateful things? Do you say that it's evil when it's truly good? And you promote evil and call evil good and good evil. These disciples who went about preaching salvation and the love of God in Jesus Christ. Do you say that they preach hate and condemnation? Do you take the love of God and turn it into hate? And you take the hate of man and turn it into love. Do you take the righteousness of God and say it's evil? And you take the wickedness of man and say it's righteous? Do you seek to pervert the right ways of the Lord? You're one or the other. You're either like the deputy who was hungry to hear the word of the Lord and in the end believed. Or you're like this sorcerer. He does all he can to destroy and oppose and silence and pervert the right ways of the Lord. You're one or the other. There's no neutral reaction and there's no neutral place. But what became of that sorcerer? What became of him? What became of this man who despised? He was blinded. He set himself against God. He set himself against the apostles and their message. And in so doing, shook his fist against Almighty God. And Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, "The hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And if you're like him today, that's exactly the state you're in. God hath blinded your heart and blinded your understanding. Oh, you might be able to walk around in this world for the few moments that you live here with your eyes open, seeing what you can see and touching what you can touch and having what you have in this world for a brief moment, but you're blind. And when you pass from this world to the next, your blindness will have condemned you. Except and unless you are brought to hear this message as the deputy heard it. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Look, behold, look at this message. Look to Jesus Christ and wonder. And if you despise, and if you reject, and if you close your eyes and shut your ears, you, like that sorcerer, will perish. And yet God has done this great work. And that is why the apostles came to Paphos and to Antioch and to all these places to declare it. They came first to the Jews. And they declare unto the Jews what God has done through his Son. We read from verse 16. In the synagogue on the Sabbath day, the rulers of the law, the Jews, said unto the disciples, said unto the men, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And in verse 16 we read, then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed have God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said, on this wise I will give unto you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man Jesus is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Oh, what a declaration unto these Jews of who Christ is and what he did. They should have known him. They should have known him at his coming. They read the scriptures in the Sabbath every day, and they did not know. And yet he came and he fulfilled all the prophets. And they, in taking him and slaying him, fulfilled the prophets in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. What a cutting message to hear. You had him come in your midst, and you slayed him. And in doing so, you fulfilled all that the prophet said of him. But God raised him from the dead. And God said of him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. You sought to destroy him, but God brought him to life. You sought to silence him, but God glorified him. You sought to bring him to nothing, but God raised him up over all. And so speaking, they quote from Psalm 2, that psalm in which we read, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. These despisers, these sorcerers, you and I by nature, the heathen rage against God and they imagine vain things. The kings of the earth, the leaders, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us get rid of these old laws that we don't like and bring in our own laws and our own ways. Let's change the values by which we live. Let's get rid of these traditions. Let's get rid of the gospel. Let's get rid of the truth. And live our own way. But what folly. What foolishness. For he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure, saying, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. What a message. David wrote it way back then in the Psalms. Habakkuk repeats the same thing. The apostles repeat the same thing. And God in his gospel says unto you in your day and age the same thing. O ye kings and ye rulers, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Turn unto Christ from your wicked ways and your wicked decrees and your wicked laws and your wicked judgments, lest he destroy you. For you think you can silence Christ, but God has raised him from the dead. He said, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. He rose him from the dead. He brought him to life. All mankind raised together. The heathen gathered themselves together and they took the Son of God. They took Jesus Christ and they nailed him to a tree and they slew him. They thought he's gone. He's dead. He's silenced. We've won. And God raised him from the dead. And generation after generation after generation has attempted to do the same thing. And you in your heart attempt to do the same thing. You think that if you silence Christ, if you shut your ears to his message, if you shut your ears to the truth, if you silence the preachers of the truth and the people of God and shut them away, then you can prevent this Saviour from having the victory. And yet God will raise him and raise them and raise the message from the grave. He will beget his son. He will bring him to life. He will bring his people to life from the dead. He will bring his gospel up out of the grave and bring it forth again in power. The more you try to put it back in its box, the more it will come out in power. The more you try to shut your ears to it, the more God will declare it. The more you try to silence it, the louder the voice becomes. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe. And that work begins with the gospel coming forth unto you and declaring unto you glad tidings. Because despite your hatred of the truth, your hatred of God, your hatred of Christ, and your hatred of the gospel, despite your heart's hatred of these things, they are glad tidings. They are good news for you to hear. They are glad tidings. They concern the Son of God and his saving grace. They concern the love of God. You may be filled with hatred. You may be moved by motives of hatred, even though you speak of love. All you do is designed to silence the truth and to silence Christ. And your desire, your motives might be motives of hatred. But God's message is a message of love. Christ came into this world to save his people and he will save them. Everyone. And if you're one of them, no matter what you do, you will be brought to life. God said of Christ, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And if you're one of God's sons in Jesus Christ, no matter what you do, there will come a day when he will say unto you, Thou art my son, thou art my daughter. This day through the gospel, through the power of Christ, I have begotten thee. I've brought you to life. I've caused you by the gospel to be born again because I gave my own son as a ransom for you. Because he suffered for your sin and your rejection. Because he took your enmity. He took your unbelief. He took your despising of the truth and he bore the wrath of God in judgment against it. Because I judged him and not you. Because I love you in Christ. Will he say that of you? These apostles came unto these people and said, We declare unto you glad tidings. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children. In that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Has he sent you such glad tidings? Does he say unto you by the Spirit of God, Thou art my son, and I've brought you to life? Because of what Christ my son did in his death, burial and resurrection for you, a sinner. He did not allow his son, Jesus Christ, to remain in the grave. He did not allow him to suffer corruption. He brought him up from the grave, living, in order that he might save his people from their sins. And though that people, like the heathen around them, may despise, and like this sorcerer, they may do all that they can to prevent the truth, to turn away others from the truth. They may withstand all that they can. They may be full of subtlety and all mischief. They may be childs of the devil. They may be enemies of all righteousness. They may seek to pervert the right ways of the Lord. You and I may. But if God send forth his glad tidings unto you to declare his love in Christ unto you, then nothing you can do will prevent you from ultimately turning from your wicked ways and falling down upon your face before God and saying, Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Because it's God's work. It's God's work to save sinners. It's God's work to proclaim his gospel, and you cannot stand in his way. Behold, I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe. No, you won't. And I won't, because we can't, we don't, we despise by nature. But if God changes your heart, if God sends the glad tidings and causes you to be born again, causes you, a dead sinner, to live, then you will believe. Because he will give you the belief, he will give you the faith, and he will cause you to believe. And he'll cause you to be forgiven of all your sins. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Because he took away the sins of his people. He bore the judgment of their sins. Did he bear yours? And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Nothing you could do could change it. You couldn't cleanse yourself from your sins. Your keeping of the law of Moses couldn't cleanse you from your sins. But this man Jesus, in bearing the judgment of that law, in bearing the wrath of God, took away your sins, if you're his, and brought in the forgiveness of sins, and brought in a free justification and the righteousness of God. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. These Jews who opposed the disciples here, the apostles, and stirred up enmity, except God had mercy upon them, they perished. And God sent forth the gospel to the Gentiles. You're hearing this message because of their enmity. You're hearing this message because of their unbelief. The gospel came into all the regions of the earth because the Jews would not hear, and God had promised that he would send it forth to all people, to those who weren't his people. The word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honourable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. And they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a contrast we see. How often men, religious men, shut their ears to the truth. But how the gospel goes forth unto everyone for whom Christ died. It cannot be silenced, it cannot be stopped, it cannot be quenched. You may despise it, but behold, ye despisers, and wonder. Wonder. Wonder at what God has done. Wonder at the power of the gospel. Oh, you, whoever you may be throughout all the earth, high or low, great or mighty, or nothing, wherever you are and whoever you are, wonder. Because God is on a throne. And God has wrought his gospel and God has sent forth his gospel. And Jesus Christ will save everyone for whom he died. Everyone for whom he died will hear this message. And you cannot prevent it. You cannot prevent them hearing. You cannot prevent the power of the gospel bringing forth its work. Everyone for whom Christ died will be brought into everlasting life. They will hear God say unto them, Thou art my son, my daughter. This day I have begotten thee as I begat Christ. You're one in him. You're one with him. I gave him for you that he should live and you should live in him. This message will come in power to every child of God throughout all the earth. And when the last one hears and the last one believes, then the end will be brought in. And you who despise will be brought to nothing and perish. But you who are filled with the Holy Ghost from on high and brought to believe and hear will be filled with joy. Oh, where are you? Are you like that deputy who, when ye saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord? Or will you be like the despiser, the sorcerer, upon whom the hand of the Lord came, and who was blinded forevermore? Have you been blinded within? Are you so deaf that you hear nothing? Are you so blind that you see nothing? Are you so foolish that you understand nothing? Or has God in mercy brought the gospel unto you and opened your ears and touched your eyes to see and granted you understanding and given you life and faith in Jesus Christ to see and behold a Saviour crucified for sinners, who was laid in the grave but whom God brought forth in power, whom God raised again, and of whom God could say, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Have you heard? Do you believe? Do you know Jesus Christ and the power of his gospel? Amen.